From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of August, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll get an update of crop progress and conditions in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota from the state statisticians, the numbers that were released yesterday afternoon. We'll hear from a webinar that was hosted last night about U.S. and China trade relations, an interesting conversation. I'll think you want to stay with us for that. And Don Day will join us as we close out our time together to take a look at the weather forecast. I'm traveling today, so no update of the trade in Chicago, at least the numbers. However, it also means that this evening, starting about 4:30, because I'm at the Illinois State Fairgrounds today, update via my Twitter account at Commodity Weekend on the website willag.org, the governor's sale of champions auction. Check it out tonight starting at 4:30. Those numbers really start coming in about 6 o'clock, and you'll find my Twitter account there with updated numbers from the governor's sale of champions at the Illinois State Fair.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, as it happens, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities is out of the office today. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net has joined us a bit early because I'm at the Illinois State Fairgrounds and wanted to make sure we could get things back to you. Matt, it's been kind of an ugly day in Chicago. I really haven't looked at the markets. What's happened?
Yeah, it's rough. So it's more of a risk-off day once again. You know, you look at corn down 16 to 18 cents for most of the last hour or so. We just kind of worked lower as the day's gone on. Beans are currently trading down about 30. You got the wheat market down anywhere from 12 to 15 cents. And so certainly, again, a risk-off day. You've got crude oil getting hammered again today. As we speak, we're down $3, down around $86. If you saw a close down here, it'd be the lowest close we've had in months. And so we're kind of hoping maybe we see the same thing we saw yesterday, where crude was able to maybe catch some life towards the end of the day and maybe bounce off those lows. But certainly a risk-off day so far.
Which of the commodities, other than crude oil, is leading the market lower?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. Crude oil is definitely playing a role. But I got to think that beans are probably the weakest link here. And, you know, yes, corn's getting beat up. But I think whenever you look at what's going on with the weather out west, Nebraska and Iowa's got some decent rains. Not everyone's received them, but you see some people posting pics of, you know, 2 to 4 inches in their rain gauge. And that definitely would help the soybean crop significantly more than the corn crop. A lot of folks feel like their corn crop's either too far gone or it's simply just going to maybe help them with some test weight. But bottom line is, I've got to think that as agronomics go, you know, your bean crop's going to get the most benefit out of the rain. I think the rain's got a lot to do with what's going on in the markets today.
Annually, for the market to fade after the August crop production report is not all that unusual, especially for the soybeans and corn too, but mostly for the soybeans as they transition really out of what usually are kind of a tight supply of beans into the new crop. I'm wondering if there's any support under this marketplace and where it might find it.
You know, the thing about it, when you look, for instance, at December corn, then we'll look at no beans, but, you know, December corn is pretty much pushing on, you know, most of the averages that we've looked at. I mean, the only one that we've got is a 5-day, you know, but bottom line is we're looking at being under, for instance, the 200-day. We've been above it recently. We're safely below it as we talk here today. And so, you know, there's probably reason to believe that you could take this market on down. We kind of broke this recent trend line. You know, we actually had 8 straight days of higher closes before Monday's market. And so that certainly is concerning, seeing that we broke that recent trend line. You look over at November beans, you know, and you're basically below all of your moving averages as we talk here today. And so, you know, you got no beans down here at 1383. You know, it wasn't very many days ago, and I'm just talking like 4 days ago on Friday, 3 or 4 days ago, you know, you actually traded this market up to 1464¾. So, you know, we're already looking at 80 cents off of that high just 3 sessions ago. So it's definitely a concerning situation, especially when you look at the technical aspect of this market.
Thank you much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And it's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. Just click and play from our website or look us up in your favorite podcast application. Places like Google, Apple Podcast, along with Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and even the NPR One app. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 94% of the corn crop around the nation has now silking. 97% is the rolling five-year average. 62% of the crop has entered the dough stage, 65% the five-year average, and 16% of the crop is now dented. 20% is the five-year average. The condition of the crop is 45% good, 12% excellent, for a total of 57% good to excellent. That's down from 46 and 12, or 1 percentage point, from last week. 93% of the soybeans are blooming. That's on pace with the five-year average. 74% setting pods. 77% is the five-year average, and the good to excellent rating is 58%, 48% good, and 10% excellent this week. Again, down 1 percentage point from the previous week. The winter wheat harvest is now 90% complete. The rolling five-year average is 94%. Here are the statisticians in Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Melissa Bond, statistical assistant for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Dry conditions continue to stress crops and pastures. The shortage of moisture was evident, with over half of the topsoil considered short to very short in the northwest, west central, central, southwest, south central, and southeast districts. Fieldwork included harvesting corn for silage and cutting hay. Corn silking or beyond was 96%, 6 days behind last year and 5 days behind the five-year average. 72% of the corn crop has reached the dough stage or beyond, 3 days behind last year but 1 day ahead of the average. 15% of Iowa's corn crop has reached the dent stage, 4 days behind last year and 1 day behind the five-year average. Corn condition dropped to 66% good to excellent, 7 percentage points below the previous week. 94% of soybeans were blooming, 12 days behind last year and 3 days behind average. 80% of the soybean crop was setting pods, 8 days behind last year and 2 days behind the five-year average. Soybeans began coloring at 1%, equal to last year and the five-year average. Iowa's soybean condition fell to 63% good to excellent, 8 percentage points lower than the previous week. Pasture condition rated just 32% good to excellent. Some producers are feeding hay and hauling water to livestock. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, Illinois State Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. There were 5.6 days suitable for field work across the Prairie State last week, and topsoil moisture was reported as 7% very short, 16 short, 64 adequate, and 13% surplus as of Sunday. Soybeans are now blooming on 93% of acres in Illinois. That compares to 96% 1 year ago and 94% for the five-year average. 73% of soybeans are setting pods compared to 78% normally. Soybean conditions declined slightly and were rated 5% very poor to poor, 26% fair, and 69% good to excellent. 70% of corn acres have reached the dough stage compared to 78% 1 year ago and 74% normally. 12% of corn acres have reached the dent stage compared to 25% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop also declined slightly and was rated 6% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 73% good to excellent. For hay, the third cutting of alfalfa hay is 47% finished compared to 66% for the five-year average. Finally, pasture conditions were rated 18% very poor to poor, 24% fair, and 58% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Lofter, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota had 5.6 days suitable for fieldwork during the week, and topsoil moisture supply is rated 7% very short, 21% short, 67% adequate, and 5% surplus. Corn silking was at 97%. Corn dole reached 44%. That's 6 days behind the five-year average. Corn condition was 2% very poor, 5% poor, 27% fair, 54% good, and 12% excellent. Soybeans blooming or beyond reached 96%, and soybeans setting pods reached 77%. That's 1 week behind average. Soybean condition was 1% very poor, 4% poor, 28% fair, 57% good, and 10% excellent. Spring wheat was 91% coloring and 12% harvested. Spring wheat condition was 0% very poor or poor, 20% fair, 76% good, and 4% excellent. And lastly, pasture condition was rated 3% very poor, 10% poor, 25% fair, 50% good, and 12% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the agricultural statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. Last night, the United States Heartland-China Association hosted a webinar on U.S.-China trade relations. USHCA is a bipartisan organization representing some 20 states in Middle America, from North Dakota to Alabama and the People's Republic of China. Its focus is to build trust and connections between government officials, business leaders, educational and community interest with like-minded institutions between the Heartland region and the PRC. Last night's webinar explored U.S.-China trade relations and the way forward. For about an hour and a half, agricultural venture capitalist Jim Schultz of Open Prairie led the discussion. It was wide-ranging, but settled on a couple of items: the importance of the WTO, the World Trade Organization, and the need to eliminate the tariffs instituted during the Trump administration and carried on now by the Biden administration. A former USDA chief economist and current research fellow at IFPRI, the International Food Policy Research Institute, Joe Glauber, was very clear on this issue and that he thought the Trump administration's Phase One agreement has done very little to increase agricultural trade with China.
I think that in the absence of the Phase One agreement, I think we would have had very, very, if you look at what they've been buying from everyone else, I think it indicates that we still would have had very robust trade with China. And I think the best thing that could happen right now is to normalize the tariffs and get rid of all these supplemental tariffs that are currently on the books, because that's the real, to me, the real problem that hangs over all this discussion right now, is we still have these extraordinary tariffs that really would shut down trade if they were actually to go into effect.
You'll hear wide agreement with Joe Glauber on those issues. Paul Schickler, who is a former president of DuPont Pioneer, now Corteva, one of the three remaining large life science agricultural companies, Bayer, Syngenta, and Corteva, on the planet, agreed with him and some of the points he made, and then turned his attention to ask a question of Susan Thornton, who was also on the webinar last night. She was the acting Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia and Pacific Affairs under the Trump administration from March of 2017 to July of 2018. Here's Paul Schickler.
So Joe made a good point just a moment ago about the cloud of tariffs hanging over relations between the United States and China, and the impact that that has on trade. My observation is that, you know, while this really was initiated 6 years ago under a Republican administration, it is now really the other side of the aisle that has jumped in as well. And so now we have a Democratic administration also, you might say, piling on to the U.S.-China disagreements and trade issues. And if I look at the political environment, I see no one or no party or no organization that wants to, you might say, change the direction of the dialogue and the discussions, because it is sort of the, it's the politically safe and current atmosphere to just pile on the U.S.-China disagreement and not do anything constructive to initiate a change. So my question to Susan is, what are your thoughts there? And is there anything that can be done to send the climate in a better direction than it has been for the last 6 years?
Well, I'll start. And then I see Dr. Glauber nodding his head. So maybe he can add some things, particularly on the sort of prospects for trade policy developments between the U.S. and China.
Again, this is Susan Thornton.
I do have a lot of concerns about recent developments, in particular with respect to Taiwan, because that's always been a very sensitive issue between the U.S. and China. And we've got to get that right. We've managed it well for 40 years. We can't blow it now. So I think that's very important. But I do think it's a good sign that it seems that they're working to engineer an in-person meeting between President Biden and President Xi Jinping for November, which would be after our election and after the 20th Party Congress in China. So we both have a bit of, a very heated kind of political atmosphere in both countries right now, which is not going to be conducive, I don't think, to making progress on these issues. There may be some, behind closed doors discussions about the trade issues, but those are even difficult to have in this politically heated atmosphere right now. So I hope that after November and after this face-to-face meeting that we'll see some progress on these tariffs, which I haven't heard a single business in the United States advocate for, and no economist who says that they're benefiting U.S. consumers.
Great. Thanks for the question, Paul. And Susan, thanks for jumping back on. Maybe with the limited time I have, I'm going to ask you a question you aren't prepared for. So hopefully you all can turn on your microphones and Susan stay on as well.
Back to the moderator now for the United States Heartland China Association's webinar last night. Again, this is Jim Schultz of Open Prairie.
But the question is, you picked up a lamp on a beach and you rubbed the lamp and out came a genie, and the genie said, you get one wish to solve the China-U.S. Trade issues. Dr. Glauber, what would you do? 10 seconds. What would you do to if you had one wish to change the trade issues?
I'd first fix the dispute settlement system at the WTO and start bringing trade disputes. If there are trade disputes, let's do them the right way and adjudicate them and bring them there.
Perfect. Dr. Dong, 10 seconds.
So I think it's better to have a concrete agreements in next stage.
That was Yan Dong of the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences advocating for staged or phased trade agreements. Here's what Susan Thornton had to say.
Susan?
Yeah, I'm excited to see the rollback of tariffs in the context of some, small deal that brings the sort of phase one to an end and let's move on to either multilateral negotiations or bilateral or WTO. I'm a big supporter of WTO as well. So move on to the next stage.
Good. Lee, you got the lamp. What's your wish?
Lee is Lee Strom. He's a farmer from Northern Illinois and former CEO and chairman of the board of the Farm Credit Administration for about 5 years under President Obama, but nominated by President George W. Bush.
My wish is, again, I'm going to just speak from a producer lens. I've heard about all of my life about having a level playing field in trade. And I would love someone to explain to me exactly what that level, where's the starting point on a level field of play?
Paul, how about you?
I'd get the politicians and the political parties out of the trade disputes and let businesses get to good outcomes. I worked, like I said, 20 years in China. And while we had legal issues, intellectual property issues, cultural issues, businesses always figured a way to get things done.
Fantastic. And Rajiv, you for last.
I think Paul's definitely stole what I would have said, but I do want to go back to saying moving it from a bilateral issue to more multilateral issue. And, you know, WTO is already a platform that if we use properly and if it's fixed, if issues are fixed, I think that's the hope that I have.
That last voice you heard belongs to Rajiv Singh. He's currently the co-chairman of a company called Foodshot Global, but held a leadership role with Rabobank as its chief executive officer for the better part of 9 years, heading up corporate finance and professional products. Now, if you'd like to watch the United States Heartland China Association's U.S.-China Ag Trade in a Changing World, the Way Forward webinar, you can find it at the U.S. Heartland China Association website. Search that out or look up usheartlandchina.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or check us out in your favorite podcast application. Just search out the Closing Market Report in places like NPR One, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, even Audible. However you listen to us, thank you for joining us each and every business day of the year. Now, let's check out the weather forecast with agricultural meteorologist Don Day at Day Weather. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or check us out in your favorite podcast application. Just search out the Closing Market Report in places like NPR One, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, even Audible. However you listen to us, thank you for joining us each and every business day of the year. Now, let's check out the weather forecast with agricultural meteorologist Don Day at Day Weather.
Over the next 7 to 10 days or so, we're going to see most of the Corn Belt have temperatures at or maybe slightly below average, as there's going to be a decent amount of frontal system activity moving across the Northern Plains and in the Great Lakes, and some of this frontal activity will be moving into the Corn Belt and Midwest. The two things these fronts will do is bring, number one, those temperatures that will be slightly cooler, and also a fairly good chance for more rain and thunderstorm activity. And it's going to be the northwestern and western Corn Belt areas that have the best chances of rain. That would be Iowa, Missouri, parts of eastern Nebraska, the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Now, we do not expect the thunderstorm coverage over central and northern Illinois and central and northern Indiana to be as extensive. It'll be those northwestern and western areas of the Corn Belt and maybe the southern areas of Illinois, Indiana, into the Ohio Valley having the best chances of rain. And in those areas I just mentioned, rainfall amounts are likely going to be between 1 to 2.5 inches. The lighter rainfall amounts are generally going to be anywhere from 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and helped us wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.